chapter 3.
While I put my microphone on. Man, we just about got them full. Gonna have to expand. No, I'm lying a lot, you know. Praise the Lord. I'll be glad when this COVID is gone. We can be back to hugging each other, slapping each other, kissing each other, whatever. And just having good fellowship, you know. Praise the Lord. Look, if you will, at Acts chapter 3. I'm going to read about the first 11 verses and go from there. Now Peter and John went up together unto the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for so many blessings. We thank you for the testimony of this man that was a miraculous healing in the old days in the early church. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for what the songs that we've sang, the beautiful praise to you for such a great salvation. We pray that you'd give me wisdom and the Spirit of God to speak your word, that you would empower thy word by your Holy Spirit and touch hearts and lives, and that you'll bring a blessing to people today. Give us freedom and ease and the help of God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's an interesting story. You talk about a miracle that you could say wow to. I don't know about you, but some people will say they're sick and then they get healed and they don't look too much different to me. You know? You don't see it. And then there's sometimes, you know, they have these big shows and they're going to heal everybody down there. And I've been to them just because I wanted to see it. And one time they said, I want all the God-called preachers in this thing, get up on the platform with me. I got up and went up on the platform with them. And I'm there watching, you know, because I'm the skeptic. And I didn't see much that I thought that was worthwhile, but I didn't know. Maybe they could be. Maybe they could have really been sick, and maybe they really could have been crippled, and maybe they were healed. I don't know, because I did not know the person. This is an interesting case. I don't know whether you've ever thought of that very much, but it's an amazing thing here. Here is a man. Think about this man that we're talking about. He's above 40 years old. He was crippled from his mother's womb. He was born that way. Now, when I grew up, there were lots of families where the kids got jobs and helped out with the family. Well, this boy couldn't do that. I mean, he's crippled, born crippled. So they would take him when he was young, I'd say probably 4 or 5 at least, all the way up to where he's over 40, and they would carry him in and set him by the temple, by the beautiful gate, going into Solomon's temple, and he would be there reaching out with a hand, hoping to get a gift. You had anybody ever hope to get the gift from you? You watch out, you can do it all the time. Right here in San Antonio, they might have a little cardboard sign on them or whatever they might be. But they're looking for a gift. And you think, I wonder, is he driving a Cadillac when he comes over? How much does he get? You know? What is the situation there? Well, the people that had gone into the temple, and this is the focal point of all Judaism at this time. God tells Solomon, you pray to this place. I'll hear the prayers that are prayed to this place. So these Jews that are faithful Jews, and the religious people, and the leaders, and whatever, and the common people, all come to this place. For 30 years or better, probably, they've seen this face. They've seen this crippled boy. They've seen him grow into a crippled man. Now, he probably helped his family in the sense that somebody gave him something, and whatever he got was more than what he would have had otherwise. He couldn't go out in the field and reap. There weren't a lot of the situations and the opportunities that have in the time that we have today. So that what he was there almost every day. That was his job. They brought him, they came and got him and took him back home. And he helped them out a little bit. They knew him. Everybody knew him. That's an important part of this little thought here. They laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Now, he comes and Peter and John are going about the ninth hour. Now, this is right after the Holy Spirit has come. Jesus has died. He's resurrected. He's ascended back to heaven. The Holy Spirit of God has come upon the church. And so they're preaching with power, and they're preaching in the temple daily, all the time. They're up there preaching in the temple. Probably they were going there to do a job of preaching this day. But he gets up there, and he sees these two men come there, and he reaches out and asking for a gift. And old Peter has something to say. He said, silver, verse 6, silver and gold have I none. These aren't rich preachers. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Oh, that's bold. That's bold. And he reaches and grabs his hand. And he lifts him up. And his legs came alive. And his feet and his ankles came alive. And you know what he started doing? Running, jumping, shouting. Wouldn't you? Praise God. You know, that's a wonderful thing there. And the thing it is, everybody knew him. Everybody that was around him there had passed him year after year after year after year. They knew him well. He probably got more offerings close to the temple when somebody was going in to pray to God or to give an offering to God, because people would be more generous that way. I lived 20 years in Kendall County in the country. And there was a very nice ranch that I drove by every day I went to work or whatever. And they had some horses and they had some cows, but mainly they were goats and sheep. They had herds of goats and sheep. Interesting to me is sometimes in the spring when they're having their babies, the kids and the lambs, that those lambs would be born and there'd be several, 8, 10, 12, 15, in this field. Now, it's an amazing thing to me, as I watched them, I would sometimes stop my car and just watch and enjoy these little bitty lambs and kids. It's an amazing thing. Now, they're dropped out on the ground, out of the mother. And then the mother comes around and she licks them and cleans them all up with her tongue and whatever, gets all the afterbirth off of them, whatever they are. And those little rascals start jumping right away. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but to see 4 or 5 or 10 or 12 of these little rascals out there in the field, and you can tell them they're smaller than others, but they're jumping, they're leaping, and then they'll run, you know. That's what he looked like. That's what he looked like. For 40 years, he hadn't been able to walk. In his life, he had never walked. He had never jumped. Have you watched all of my great-grandchildren here? They don't know how to walk. They really don't. They really don't know how to walk. They run, you know, jump and run and yay, all right. Well, has he got your 40-year-old man doing that right here? It's just really an interesting story, an interesting chapter in this thing to me here. He leaps and he shouts and he runs. First time in all of his life. Is that a miracle? In fact, even the enemies say it was a notable miracle. Wow. How about that? Such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood, walked, entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And look at verse 10. They knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They'd seen this man for 35 years or so, being crippled, not being able to work, a beggar, out beside the Jewish temple there, this one center of the Jewish religion and worship of God. They knew who he was. They knew it was a miracle. Now, sometimes some of these miracles that people say things about, you can't see and you can't tell. That's not the case here. They could see and they could tell, and they knew it was a miracle. I'll tell you what. Now, look at verse 12. We're going to get an explanation. When Peter saw it, he answered unto the temple, unto the people, "You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why you look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and just and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and kill the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, and hath faith, which is by him both given him this perfect soundness in the presence of us all. Now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it also did your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of his prophets that Christ should suffer, so hath he fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." These rulers, as you will read in another part of the thing, the priest, the high priest, and the family of the high priest, and all these leaders of Judaism are gathered around there. And they had been fighting Jesus all his life. From the time, the 3 years, they did not want to hear his message. They did not believe he had any power. They did not follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are envious. In fact, they wanted to kill him several times. And they were the ones that talked Pilate into making sure he killed him. And you know what he says here? He said, you took a burner. You didn't want Jesus. You didn't want him in power. You did not want him in influence.
You did not believe the message that he brought to you.
But what was his message? The message was he was God. And these miracles and things that, now then Jesus is dead and then he's resurrected and they could believe whatever they wanted to believe. And who are these? These are the disciples of Jesus. Just a short time after the church is filled with the Spirit of God. And all of a sudden they come around there and they say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Wow. Now that's powerful. I don't have that kind of power. You have that kind of power? I don't have that kind of power. Now, Peter and John did. They had some power to convince the people. Now, wouldn't that convince you, this man? Not a, there's 100 other people he could have healed that he wouldn't have had the same type of power in it. But when you look at this man that had laid by the beautiful gate, maybe every day of his life for 35 years or so, his folks would bring him in at a certain time, and then they would come and get him and take him home again. And then they brought him daily, it says, daily at the temple there. Every one of them knew him. They knew his face. They knew his legs. And to watch him running and leaping and shouting and praising the Lord and coming all around, he got old John and Peter, and he held them. And the people came up, and Peter gave the explanation. And it's certainly a condemnation of the Jewish leaders. Certainly a condemnation of all of those that did not believe or did not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amusing thing to me. Says he laid the blame upon them. You denied the Holy One and just, verse 14, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and kill the Prince of Life whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. Wow. That's a tremendous message. That is a tremendous miracle, and one that you could say nothing against. Verse 19. Notice what he said. Repent. Repent ye therefore. Be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. I heard Brian this morning say what a wonderful thing it was when he realized his sins were paid. He was forgiven. I had the same experience, Brian. I remember as a 20-year-old when I trusted Christ out in Roslyn, New Mexico. It was like a huge burden had come off of my back. I don't know. That's the way it felt to me. I knew I was a sinner. Nobody had to preach to me or convince me that I was a sinner. I knew I was a sinner. I was raised in a Christian home. I was raised with normal, very sweet parents. I was raised with a Bible in the house. I was taken to Sunday school. Had me memorize scriptures. I knew that a lot of what I did was not what I should be doing. And yet, I knew I was a sinner. And I knew because of my sin, you know, good little boys go to heaven is what we thought, and bad little boys went to hell. The truth of the matter is, all boys are bad little boys. Even the ones that you think are real good. All of us are bad. What's wrong with you? You're selfish. You ever thought of the it used to be like sin, S-I-N. Take the I out, no sin. I is the problem. It's our problem in every area of our lives. It's a problem in the marriages. Marriages break up. Marriages are torn apart because of selfishness. It's a problem among kids. Kids can't get along with one another because they're selfish or they're jealous or they're envious or whatever. And it's a problem in the workplace. And by the way, it's a problem in the church. It's a problem in everybody's family because all of us are selfish. You have to teach yourself to think of somebody else. And yet that's what Jesus is telling us to do. What are the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, strength. Wow. You've been doing that on a regular basis? Well, then you're a sinner. If you love yourself more than you love the Lord, that's sin. If you love anybody more than the Lord, that's sin. Now, what he said to your neighbor and your friend, and how can you keep the law? He said, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love. Love your neighbor as yourself. I bought several new cars for myself in my life. I never bought you one. I love me more than I love you. Isn't that right? And that's our problem lots of times in our marriages, in our friendships. How many things get destroyed and broken because we don't live by love? It's not so much that you could say, well, you shouldn't have said this, you shouldn't have gossiped, you shouldn't have lusted, you shouldn't have whatever. But the main thing is, you're living without love. And you need to be loving because that's what God is wanting to bring into your life. He wants to bring it into your marriage. He wants to bring it into how you raise your kids. He wants to bring it in how you teach your kids to get along with one another. Love is the fulfilling of the law. If I love you, I'm not going to commit adultery with your wife. If I love you, I'm not going to steal whatever you've got. If I love you, I'm going to treat you right. So love is the fulfilling of the law. Here we have this wonderful miracle, and it's one they cannot disprove. In a multitude, somebody coming up and touching Jesus in a great congregation, and he says, virtue's gone out of me. Peter didn't know where it went. Neither the other disciples didn't know where it went. They thought, well, you're in a crowd. People are touching you. What are you talking about? No, he knew power went out of him to heal a woman. Now, the woman stands out and says, I've been doing this for years and years and I had all this problem and now I'm healed. But all the people around, it takes a certain amount of faith for them to believe her. Or to believe him. So there could be some people that in their doubts they could say, why, he didn't do this, he didn't do that. It was just a show. Couldn't do that with this man. This man, above 40 years old, he'd been laying as a beggar beside the beautiful gate of the temple daily. What a testimony. The leaders of the Jews knew that this was a direct condemnation of them. And they were told, you know, when he's preaching, old Peter's preaching here, he's preaching to a bunch of Jewish leaders, Pharisees and Sadducees and priests. You know what he says to them? Repent and be converted. They probably didn't think they ever needed to repent. I've met people like that. I've met people that told me they never sinned. Now, my sister told me about a fellow that come by one time, and he was knocking on doors, and she was talking to him, and she said, what about his sin? He said, oh, I haven't sinned in 20 years. She said, oh, you just did. You told a lie. Of course. Do you recognize you're a sinner? I know I'm a sinner. I recognize that my mind does not go along the same lines as God's mind. I don't think like Him. I try to. I've read the Bible plenty. I've memorized many verses. And I've tried to put it into practice in my life. And yet I come up short. And you come up short too. And you can tell me how good you are, but you come up short. Here's a miracle. Here's a man. He's running and leaping and jumping. Wow. It's beautiful. Because he's just like a kid. He's just like one of these little kids, or like one of the little kids of the goats, you know, or lambs. And to watch them jump up and run and try to learn to do different things. And what? Beautiful. It's absolutely a beautiful thing to watch. And I see all these kids around here. And I've been trying for years to say, stop, stop, you know, don't run,
stop, stop, don't run. You're going to run into an old folk and drop them off, and they're going to break a hip. They can't help it. Now, they got to get disciplined and trained, but they can't help it. He could no more help it. He didn't have a chance. He never walked on those legs before. I guess I'd have hung on to Peter and John too, wouldn't you? Man, I gotta, where do these guys get this power? Jesus. Notice the name. In the next chapter or two, this chapter 3 and chapter 4. Wow. Look the name of Jesus up when you read it. Go back home. Read Acts chapters 3 and chapters 4 and mark every place you see the name of Jesus. What it says about it. Repent. What's repent? Change your mind. You know the reason why you're having a problem doing certain things? Because you have not changed your mind. You make up your mind to quit smoking, but you still like to smoke. You go on a diet. You last, if you're real good, about 2 days. Look at verse 17. Brethren, I watch that through ignorance you did it as also your rulers. He's given them credit that they didn't know what they were doing. That Pilate didn't know what he was doing. And that the Jewish priest that brought up charges against the Lord Jesus and wanted him crucified, they didn't really know what they were doing. I think they knew they were doing wrong. I think they knew they were doing selfish in the sense of they were trying to protect their power, their prestige, whatever, their leadership over the temple or the Jewish nation. But they sure didn't understand they were killing the Lord of life. And what they were doing, God had said in all sorts of prophecies that Jesus must suffer. You remember the prayer that Jesus goes to God with? If it be possible. Is there another way? Do I have to go through with this? Well, it wasn't possible. And there was no other way. And he fulfilled the scripture in that he suffered and died so that he could pay for your sins. He established a perfect righteousness. Wow. Perfection? Oh, I like to think I'm maybe more good than bad. But perfection? Never have the wrong thought. Never tell a word of gossip. Never lust after anything. Even a new Cadillac or a lovely, beautiful woman. Perfection? Wow. We don't come out perfect, do we? Well, you know what that leaves us? That leaves us in trouble with God. If you break one commandment of the law, you cannot get saved. Of course, nobody can get saved by the law, but most people think they can. They think if I just kept all of these, just 10 commandments, that God would be pleased with me and I would go to heaven. Well, first of all, you're never going to keep them. You're never going to keep them. Keeping the law does not bring salvation. Accepting Christ as your substitute brings salvation. Christ as your leader. Christ as God in the flesh. And by the way, keep noticing the name of Jesus in these chapters. Wow. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. I'm so glad my sins are blotted out. Now, how did I get that done? I didn't work for it. I didn't earn it. I'm not paying it back. It was a gift. It was a gift. Didn't cost me anything. He offered it to me. If you'll repent of your sins, I will forgive you. Now, a lot of religion has it that you're actually working for it and you get paid for this and that and the other thing. That's not true. Everybody that makes it to heaven makes it on the righteousness of Jesus Christ, or they don't make it at all. Do you understand me? You're never going to get good enough. And you ought to, throughout your old long days, I hope you live a long life. And throughout your days, I hope you thank God for grace. Thank God for a gift. Thank God for a righteousness, not your own, that God could apply to you and make you acceptable in His sight. That's the grace of God and the gift of God. Repent ye therefore and be converted. Now look at chapter 4, verse 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. How about that for a revival meeting on one day? Wow, I'd like to be preaching that sermon. I think I'd brag on myself for a month. Boy, that was a good message. Whew. Boy, you really did a good job that time. Wow, did you convince them? 5,000 men came to Christ because they knew the guy that got healed. They saw him for years. They knew him. They was proof to them. This is no show. This is no accident. This is a direct miracle directly from God. And they tell me it's in the name of Jesus. Wow. As far as I'm concerned, that's absolutely great. Many of them which heard the word believed, the number of the men was about 5,000. It came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, this is the next day after, and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. Look at verse 7. When they had set them in the midst, they said, "Why, by what power or by what name have you done this?" Now the priests know. Everybody, they've seen, they passed that. That was their territory. That was their business. That was their area. They knew him as well as anybody. And he takes it and he talks to them and they say, don't know what it said. By what power, what name? How did you get this done? By what power did you do this? They knew a notable miracle had been done. There's no doubt about it. That's an amazing thing about this thing, this chapter right here. By what power, what name have you done this? Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto him, "You rulers of the people, elders of Israel, if this day we be examined of the good deed." What did they do to that guy? They did a good thing. That's a good deed. You're complaining because we did a good deed? Sort of like Jesus when he would heal somebody on the Sunday. Sabbath, not Sunday, the Sabbath. He'd be on the Sabbath day and he'd heal somebody and he'd be mad at him. Well, he didn't do anybody harm, you know. He did somebody good. And he said, if you had an ox that was falling into a pit, you'd get in and get him out even if it was on a Sunday rather than lose a valuable ox. By what power, what name have you done this? Peter said, if this day we be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Wow. I mean, he put it right to them. He laid it on the line. You know what they could have done right here? Repented. They could have asked for forgiveness. They could have acknowledged they'd killed God's son. They could have acknowledged that what he had done was nothing but good. And that this miracle here was an absolute proof of it. Do you know how hard unbelief is? It's a tremendous resistance. It's an amazing thing that we can be proved wrong and we won't admit it. Are you that proud? A lot of us are. You may not admit to it, but a lot of us are. We get proved wrong. And we just draw up in ourselves and we're not going to admit it. Well, that's the way these priests were. It's amazing thing, you know, whenever he raised Lazarus from the grave, they were thinking of killing Lazarus. Well, he just raised him again. What good would they do? And then they thought they're going to kill Jesus. Well, if that's the case, he's going to rise again too. Sometimes in our evil minds and in the evil of our natures, we don't think too smart. We're not very clear on what we ought to be doing. Anyway, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, verse 10, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Wow! It's by the Jesus you've been fighting for 3 years. It's by the name of Jesus that you have such an attitude against. You crucified the Lord of glory. Now look at verse 12. It's one of the greatest verses in the Bible. Neither is there salvation in any other. I gave you the name of Jesus. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is an offensive statement. This offends many religions, offends many people. You can't tell me that Jesus is the only one. All religions lead to God. All religions. No, they don't. There's just one. As offensive as it may be, there's one mediator between God and men. It's not Mary. It's not Mary. It's not your priest. It's not your preacher. It's not your mother or your father. It's not the nice guy down the road. They're just one. Now this is very offensive to people. This makes people not like Christianity and makes many Christians sort of tone it down and say, well, yeah, maybe God, but, you know, that's not true. Here's the word, and it's just as plain as it can be. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Look at verse 14. Beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Like I said, a lot of things that you think it ought to prove to certain people that your Christianity is right or the Bible is right or whatever. But here we've got a man, nothing they could do. Every one of them knew him. Every one of them had seen him. They'd seen him by years. They would have recognized him anywhere. It's absolutely proved. They know a notable miracle has been done, but they're not going to accept it. Look at verse 17, chapter 4. But that is spread no further. They know it's right. They know it's true. They know a miracle's been done by the name of Jesus. Though it is spread no further. They don't want anybody else to get healed. They don't want a good deed to be done to anybody else along the way. Or they just can't stand it that Jesus is glorified. Jesus is recognized as the power behind this. It's an amazing thing. Indeed, a notable miracle hath been done. Only one name, only one way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is Jesus. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now that's a very exclusive statement, but it's true. Don't get mad that there aren't
50 saviors. Be thankful that God made one. Don't be so proud that you're going to turn down the Lord of glory because he says he's the only name. And by the way, what is that name? It's not Father. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they're not names. The name is Jesus. Jesus is the name that needs to be glorified. Jesus is the name that you need to pray to. Pray in his name. Neither is there salvation in any other. The only name and the only way. I am the way, not one of the ways. Now, if you can believe the Bible, I do believe the Bible. Now, you don't have to, but I do. And that word is in my Bible, and it's just as clear as I can see. And wow, what a testimony to go along with it. It's a testimony to me this 2,000 years later down the line to see that these guys said it just as clear and plain as could be and they lived by it. It's the name of Jesus. It's not the temple. It's not the priest. It's not Mary. It's not religion. It's Jesus. None other name. One name, only one way. But listen, my friend, the good news, I'm telling you about the way. Do you know what you can do? My Bible tells me that God hears and answers prayer. And that somebody sincerely that would raise up their hands or raise up their heart towards God, God would pay attention to them. And if you recognize that you are a sinner and need a Savior, and you confess that to God. God, I don't have anything to bring you. I'm just a sinner. I can't serve you well. I can't bring anything to you. I can't do a great work in your name. I'm just a sinner. But I'm sorry for my sin, and I'm sorry for all the trouble that I've caused, and I need forgiveness. God will hear a prayer like that. God will take you and turn you into one of His. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because Jesus is the one that has the established righteousness, perfect righteousness. He has it. Nobody else does. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have that. I don't know how you were raised, but don't go to hell because your parents went to hell. Because your heritage is some other something. Don't turn down Jesus Christ because your heritage is some other word. You think about the message that God brought to you. There is one name. And if you call upon God in that one name, God will hear you. And if you believe that Jesus Christ died in your place, paid your debt to God, He'll save your soul and change your life for all eternity. And that's the greatest good news I've ever heard. I've been preaching that same good news 63 years or better. And I'm not apologizing for it today. It's just as fresh and just as beautiful, just as wonderful as it ever was, as it was 63 years ago when I was saved. Are you here today? And maybe you understood the gospel for the first time or believed it for the first time. You know, looking at that man and all of these people knowing that man and knowing that miracle that was done and by what name it was done in, that ought to be good enough for you today. You don't have to have God to give you a sign out here today. He's got it for you in His Word. The testimony of these men who said they were witnesses. They've witnessed that there's none other name, none other way. Why don't you take Jesus Christ as your Savior? Why don't you just repent of your sin or go home tonight and in your bed, turn over and say, Lord, forgive me. I am a sinner. Lord, I am selfish. Lord, I am stupid. Lord, confess them all. Ask for mercy. Don't ask for justice. You don't want justice. You don't. You want mercy. There are not a one of us but what needs mercy. And it's mercy you'll get in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the name. It's an exclusive name. There's one mediator, not two, not three. One mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus.
Let's pray. Lord, touch every heart and life that's here. Have your way in each of our lives. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the promise. We thank you for the witnesses of the apostles. We thank you, Lord, that you brought it down to us and we recognized and heard this wonderful story about the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to touch every heart and life that's in here. Help those of us that are backslidden a little bit that we'll get repent and get ourselves right with you. Help those here that are lost and they've refused to accept Christ as their Savior up till now. Help them, Lord, to call upon you. Touch their heart. Make a blessing. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.